Blog Talk Radio.
And you can always count on having a fun day when you spend it with the people you love. I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? I love you, you love me, we're best friends like friends should be, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too?
You feel like a happiness machine, that's what you are. When nasty stuff comes into your ears, it won't get very far. You'll turn it all around, mix it all about, turn it upside down so only good stuff comes out. When the garbage goes in your ears, you'll recycle. If you're not quite sure, you'll look in your Bible. You'll be like a big love factory, that's what you are. When gossip and nonsense comes into your ears, it won't get very far. The Holy Spirit living in you, the words you speak will be blessed from above. When people are mean, you know what to do. With the power of God, you can shout out love.
Thank you.
welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we're going to be having a little bit of fun. We wanted to lighten up the show this week and bring you some comedy. The Bible tells us that a merry heart works just like a medicine. So tonight we have brought you some clips to tickle your funny bone. The first one reminds us of Wild Bill's late grandfather, Joe Powell. This is for you, Paul.
We got a little problem in southwest Mississippi. One of our dearest pastors went to the hospital the other day, looked down into the face of one of his deacons, and tubes was coming out of the deacon's nose. And he knelt down by his bed and took his man by the hand and said, "Brother, I want to pray for you, and I hope you get all right." The man took his hand out of the preacher's hand, and he was trying to speak, and he was having difficulty to speak, and he pointed to a pen and a pad on the nightstand, and the preacher handed it to him, and he wrote quickly, and just as he finished writing, the pen fell out of his hand, and the dear brother died. The pastor was burying him 2 days later. And he was up eulogizing him and saying wonderful things about him. And he said, "Oh, I just happened to remember his last words. He wrote them down and handed them to me. They're in my coat pocket. I want to share them with you and tell you what this man of God said as he was dying." Said, "Pastor, you're kneeling on my oxygen hose back up. When football season's over, I don't know what to do. I order me them football films and watch them, because I get to craving seeing them folks put them headgears on and strike one another. And the Ole Miss Mississippi State game is sold out 12 months ahead. Last year, there's 47,000 people there to see the University of Mississippi play Mississippi State. Grudge game. In the middle of the third quarter, a funeral procession passed back behind the stadium. And a feller got up in the stands and turned around and looked over the back of that stadium and put his hat over his heart and stood that still till the funeral passed. The feller sitting by him said, 'Why, Joe, I didn't know you was that respectful. You must be a religious feller.' He said, 'Well, as the least I could do, I was married to her 40 years.
Not long ago, now this is the truth, what I'm telling you, my hand up. Not long ago, we was out in Oklahoma at the Ebenezer Free Will Baptist Church, all day singing and dinner on the ground, homecoming. And singing on the program that day was a blind family. Now then, if I told you who they was, some of you'd know them, because they sing in churches all around the country. And they're singing on the program. And that church is so full, you couldn't put another human being in it. I mean, they had them standing, lined up around the walls. And them blind folks, this group of blind folks got up on the pulpit to sing. And there's one little aisle right down the center. They even had chairs out. And then there's one little aisle right straight across in front of the pulpit, and that was all. And they got up there on the pulpit to sing. And when they got up there, they realized there wasn't enough room up there for them three big old German police C&I dogs they had with them. And they didn't know what to do with them. So this feller that was in charge of them just laid them all three right down there in front of the pulpit. And the preacher got a little bit worried about it. And he went over to the fella in charge of those blind folks. And he said, "Brother," he said, "will them dogs be all right down there?" That man said, "Let me tell you something about them dogs." He said, "Don't worry about them dogs." He said, "Them dogs are highly trained." He said, "Them dogs will lay right there till I tell them to move, no matter what happens." He said, "Preacher," he said, "what you preach to that crowd out there, they may forget. But them dogs don't forget. Them dogs will be right there. Them dogs will lay right there and starve to death if I didn't tell them to move." Preacher said, "All right, I ain't going to worry about them." He said, "Don't you worry about them." So it was all jammed and crowded in there. You couldn't move. And when them folks got up and started singing, they sang them kind of songs that'll tear your heart out. That crowd was all caught up in it. Didn't nobody even notice when that big old yeller cat. Come walking down the center aisle of that church. Didn't nobody even see it, except them three big old German police dogs. You know what they done? They forgot. You'd have thought that old cat would have turned around and shot right back out that front door, but it didn't. Shot right out under them benches over on this side, right over here. You'd have also thought whenever you went in that church that there wasn't room under them benches for them three big old German police dogs, but there was. I mean, they just disappeared from where they was, and pandemonium set in. Let me tell you something. When you're sitting in church and you all caught up and these blind folks up there singing them songs like they sing them, the last thing in this world you expect is a foreign object on your legs. When you get old yelling cat up one of them, German police dog up the other, make you do things you didn't have no idea you could do. I mean, they was flat-footing from the sitting position, and that ain't easy. They was walking them benches. It was one of them, look out, Sadie, ain't no door, there is now situations. I mean, you could tell everywhere everything went under there by the way there's exploding up out of this seat. And they just absolutely wrecked that side of the church. And they was trying to come forward. They was trying to go backwards. Preacher didn't know what happened. He ain't even seen them leave. While they started attacking him, he flat-footed that pulpit. Geraldine flat-footed him. That little old choir loft back behind us had room for about 20 people. Had 40 in it and 40 on the way. Now, the crowd over on this side of the church didn't have no idea what was going on over on this side. They thought an old-fashioned shouting revival done broke out. Honey, they come up out of their seats shouting just about as loud as this crowd was. The only difference was they're shouting glory, hallelujah, and this bunch is shouting, Lord, help me, Jesus. Back over on this side, 14 people wound up in the altar, two deacons and a Sunday school teacher got saved. And all the time, that old yeller cat was over here still clawing for its life. My wife said, I'll bet there's some runs in some pantyhose. I said, honey, there's some of them running out of the pantyhose that time. And them blind folks was up there singing. They didn't have no idea what was going on. The only thing they was thinking about was they done took that job too cheap. Any of you preachers out there that's got a church that's dying right before your eyes, let me tell you what to do. Get yourself an old yeller cat. Three German police dogs. You may not get nobody saved, but you'll scare the devil out of the crowd. You got, I guess.
I just started communicating with music to my kids. They don't listen to me talking anymore. I just use their songs and get my point across. We're at the mall the other day. They're just begging me for an iPhone for an hour. Oh, an iPhone, I want an iPhone, I want an iPhone. I finally said, dude, I'm not going to buy you an iPhone. Cause you ask for it like you need one. You don't. I'm not gonna buy you an iPhone. You're insane if you think I'll pay for it. So be on your way. I'm not gonna listen. Go away. You're wasting all your time. Here's a dime if you find a payphone. But no iPhone today. And that's what I do. You know,
one time I had all the face piercings and the baggy pants and stuff, which I love. I love baggy pants because I got a friend that's a police officer, and he can catch gang members so much quicker now because, you know, they can't run from the cops. Their belt is here. They're like, ah, it's the cops. Hurry, waddle, waddle. I keep waiting for them to just hide in their pants. Oh, it's the cops.
My girlfriend is funny, Allison, and she's here tonight, and she's just, we've been friends since we were about 14 years of age. Her first, Justin, my first, Shara, went off to college within a few days of each other, and we were kind of grieving. It was hard. We tried to be tough, you know. And so they got some help with scholarship money and stuff like that when they first went to school, and so we felt like all those pennies we'd been saving for 18 years, that was just the Lord telling us to feel free to spend it. She goes, you tell David, we need to go process our grief. So I'm like, honey, Allison says, we probably need to go process our grief in Cancun. It's the truth. We flew to Cancun. We'd never been there before in our lives. Never seen anything like it. We flew in there, and then you drive for like an hour to another little place, to a little health spa place. Yeah, it's a beautiful little resort, and they have all these little therapy things for you, massages. We'd never, it was so stinking funny. Okay, it's a fat farm, but still. So here we are at our little health resort. Of course, we're cheap, you know, and she got these coupons and these deals, and she signed us up. And she signed us up for a honeymoon package. Because it was cheaper. Look, we'll each get a massage, we each get breakfast, and we, you know, and I'm like, so you check into the desk, you know, oh, okay, and they get, one of you gets a little blue robe, one gets a little pink robe. She says, just put it on, it's cheaper this way. We go down there to have our first little massage. I'd never had anything like that before. And the funniest thing, you know, well, I'm from Tennessee, so the thought of a massage is the funniest thing you ever heard in your life. I start giggling, laughing, you know, and like, I am a professional massage therapist, and I go, no, but this is stupid. I'm just giggling, laughing. Alice is rolling her eyes because she knows all about these things. She's kind of classy. I'm jail because she's had manicures. So we're down here processing her grief. And in the process, then they come in and say, it's time for your pedicure. I looked at Allison. You bring a dog? She's so embarrassed. Not pedigree, Shonda, pedicure. And now paint your toenails up. It really was wonderful. And we thought, you know, our husbands deserve a trip such as this. And we called them, had them join us because they love to scuba dive, and we're down there at this beautiful blue water, and we called Ken and David, my husband David, and we failed to mention to them, we got them a honeymoon package too. And the funniest thing, me and Allison, since we had experienced this for 3 days and knew the kind of treatment that you get, we wanted to hide off in the bushes and watch them checking in. David walks in, they're tired, they had a 10-hour flight, whatever it was, and checked in, gave them their little confirmation number. Little desk clerks typing it all in. Mr. Pierce, glad to have you here, and you are in 3511. How wonderful. And Mr. Evans, you are in 3511. Okay. Can we see that you are here with the honeymoon package? Okay. Their eyes got real big. Some little neon sign scrolled across their heads. kill them when we see them. I mean, what? You're both in 3511. That's one of Ken's like, no, hey, we got women here. We're meeting women here. David, yeah, we got wild women. We're meeting women here. You know, hey, sir, this is Cancun. You do not have to explain. And then they're getting really mad because they got their little robes and one had on a pink one, one had on a blue one, and they went to have their first little massage. It was so hilarious. Everywhere you go, if you get a Coca-Cola, in your room number, sir, 3511. And your room number, sir, 3511. Oh. Weird bad to die. So they had their little massage, and Ken, you know, but that's because guys, they try me. So Ken comes barreling out of there. Wait just a minute. Look, did you have a guy give you a massage or a girl? David said, I have a nice lady gave me a massage. Okay, who gave you a pedicure? David said, fine lady, paint my toenails. I never had a pedicure before. Ken said, I didn't. Some man came in and painted my toenails. He was mad. They didn't speak to us for weeks. It was hilarious. And Christmas came and we got them little scuba shirts matching. One had a pink one, one had a blue one. Said scuba team, 3511. There, you know, and they kind of got a sense of humor eventually and kind of chuckled about it until the mail came. And you know how a resort will send you a thank you for coming to visit us? A little gift in the mail every now and then. David got this letter. You got to hear it. It's like a computerized thing, but still, you know, they want to thank you for... Dear Mr. Pierce, we hope that you and Mr. Evans enjoyed your recent stay at our resort. It's not too late to still order the photos of you and... At the former gown dinner reception. The chocolates on your pillow and the complimentary back massages are just some of the special amenities we hope that made you and Mr. Evans' trip a very special time. Mr. Pierce, we hope that the next time you and Mr. Evans are looking for a romantic getaway... together. What a better way to say romance than a hot cup of chamomile tea. Oh, my Lord! They haven't spoken to us since.
My father's kind of like, you know when dads get married, they develop that, you know, he was kind of big boned. He was fat. He was fat. I'm not gonna lie. He was a man of few words. You know, he'd give me that one word advice like, "Hey, come here. Don't stop." And like I said, he's a big guy, right? So when he get in trouble, you know, he's like, "Rich, come here. I heard what you did at school. Come here. I'm gonna I'm going to have to whoop you, son. Come here. I'm going to have to whoop you. He take off his belt. I'm going to have to whoop you. What, are you going to hit me? Are you going to last with me? What's going on? One time he told me to be home at 3 o'clock right after school, and I got home at 7:30, and he was livid. I knew he was going to spank me. So I was in my room, like, what am I going to do? I got to do something. He's going to whoop me. So I grabbed a book, and I shoved it in the back of my pants. I was like, yeah, I'll smart him. Got to be careful, though. It's one of those books that talks to you. He went to spank me. He's like, the cow says moo. He hit me again. The donkey says, hee-haw. You eat too much Mexican food, you sicko. It is tough to be a Christian when I'm on the freeway, stuck in traffic. For some reason, I'm not a Christian when I'm on the freeway in traffic. I'm just sitting there minding my own business. I'm just, you know, driving myself, you know, just saying a prayer to God, and somebody cuts me off. I'm like, I just got to just thank you for today, and I just pray. What are you doing, you jerk? You're a jerk. I will rip your head off. I got some Christian music in the radio station, you know. Hallelujah. Get out of the left lane. Why are you in the left lane? I will rip your head off. Stupid old lady, come on. Shout to the Lord. My mother's a very devout Catholic too, you know, very devout, you know, which is great, but every year she would take our family to midnight service on Christmas Eve. Midnight service on Christmas Eve. See, I don't know what she was thinking, keeping a 9-year-old up 3 hours past his bedtime. Take him to a building where you're going to be completely quiet, and there's some guy out front going, oh. To tell me, don't you fall asleep. I'm all... Everybody kneel. We were supposed to get married on May 22nd, but we got married on July 30th. Apparently, on May 22nd, the day before the wedding, we got into our only argument. We broke up right before the wedding. True story. Everything was all planned out. We broke up, and we decided to say, you know, let's just take some time. And it was one of the saddest days of my life. But the good news was I saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico. That was good. Yeah. I've been married now 9 months. A lot of people ask me, you know, how did you know she was the one? That's easy. She told me. I did it one girl. She's Canadian. She's from Canada. She was hot. She was beautiful. I mean, she was like a 10. I mean, she was like a 10. Well, she's a Canadian 10. I know with the exchange rate. Like, you know, over here, she's like a 6. Yeah, a 6. But in Mexico, she was like 4,000. Cool. But I think when God was creating the woman, I think he was walking around going, what can I create that would confuse and baffle the man so much that his only choice would be to turn to me?
Sorry, did I touch something there? Or did I? Is everybody okay? I've been married 9 months now. I found out that one day we're going to be able to explore the surface of the sun. All we're going to have to do is send up two women in a rocket ship up to the sun, because it doesn't matter how hot it gets. One of them's always going to go, I'm cold. I'm cold. Are you cold? I'm cold. I'm cold for no reason. I'm just cold. What is it with you and the cold? We'll walk out of the house. We live in Colorado. My wife is like, should I bring a jacket? You should bring fire. Bring some malaria. Bring some flint and stones so we can just light up anytime. Man.
Mama's in the place. Mama stuck with me though, because you know I ain't always do, you know, Christian comedy. You know, I start off on the other side. I believe I see a few witnesses. You know, I start out on the other side, but Mama stuck with me, you know, she stuck with me, she supported me until I came and brought it on in. But you know, every time, you know, they had a revival, she was trying to invite me on in, trying to get me real saved. You know. Yeah. Because, you know, all that kind of say, you know, I was saved, but there's some stuff I was still trying to hold on to. You know that kind of say, you be saved, but not quite delivered. There it is. That's where I was, you know. So every time they had revival, Mama invite me out. Baby, what you doing this week? I said, I'm working every night. She said, you must have heard about the revival. I said, yeah, ma'am, they had it on the radio. Mamas, how many mamas in the place? Mama stuck with me though, because you know I ain't always do, you know, Christian come.
You know, we've been talking about things that scare you to death, and so I thought it would be appropriate that we talk about my mother. She takes a beating, doesn't she? She's very precious. She enjoys it, I think, sort of. Okay, maybe not, but her hearing's not that good, so really. Now, here's the thing. My favorite thing to do, and I know I'm admitting this in front of all of you, so you'll send me letters. This is, I love to scare my mother. It's just the whole shock value kind of a thing. It's just that look on her face is so funny. And so you just work at that. You know what I mean? Because my mother loves me, and that is the most assuring thing in the entire world for any child, is to know that you have a fully devoted mother who adores you and can no longer chase you down. Makes the whole unconditional thing really work. We were back there, I was giggling with Nicole, going, how do you think the show's going? Do you think people are enjoying this? And she goes, I think it's going good. I can't hear a thing. So that's real reassuring. But the thing that it just struck me funny, because I've been talking about fear and all the things that I'm afraid of, and what I got tickled was, I have to admit to you, you guys scare me. I have learned in a very tender way, God's love is the most unconditional thing I have ever found to be true in my life. You guys are a lot more picky. I mean, I get letters over what my hair looked like, you know, what word I used, what word I stumbled on, and what it sounded like I used. It's just, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to pick each other apart. And so that does scare me. I grew up a preacher's kid, so I remember what it was like to live under the magnifying glass of the world. You know, and in a way that was good, that accountability is all good, but sometimes we take it too far. I've learned one thing, and that is to loosen up, lighten up in my life, and know that I can't please everybody and the whole wide world. So I have concentrated on pleasing one person, one entity in my life, and that is God the Father. Well, and my husband. So I feel like if I please God and my husband, I've got it, and my mother. Just God, my husband, and my mother, and then your and my children. You don't you want your children to be proud of you, you know, and not be embarrassed to be seen with you in the store. And so God, my husband, my mother, and my children, and my pastor means so much to me. He's a wonderful pastor, and so I want my church family to be proud of me, and I want God and my husband and my children and my mother and my pastor and my whole church family to really be pleased with my life and the homeowners association in my neighborhood. They're very particular about what you're allowed to put in your yard, and they don't like my old Chevette sitting there. I call it art, and they said no. But still, but so God and my husband and my mother and my children, my church family, my pastor, and the homeowners association of the little neighborhood I live in. If you get that straight, you've got it whooped. So there's actually nothing to be afraid of. The funniest thing is, this is true. I don't mean to shock my mother. It's just that it is quite delightful. They have this new restaurant in downtown Nashville, Tennessee called, this is not an advertisement, so I won't tell you what it's called, because they're not paying me. Okay, I'll tell you what it's called. Blackstone. It's this real interesting pizza kind of a place, and when I saw it being built and what they were putting there in the front window, I couldn't wait to take my mother there. This is true. Because my mother all my life told me that everything in the world leads to beer. This is the truth. It's my mother's perspective is what was always so fun. Honey, don't dance, that leads to beer. It's the truth. You can't say that, that leads to beer. Don't wear that, that leads to beer. You know, when they started advertising beer on television, that just rocked my mother's world. You know what I mean? Because we were very conservative growing up. This is true. I've told this before. We used to hide a radio under the bed and, you know, and wait till my parents left to move slightly to the music. And this is the truth. One night we turned the radio on, my sisters and I. We wet paper towels, wrapped them up the bottom of our legs. Those were our go-go boots. We turned it up real loud and heard Jeremiah was a bullfrog. I knew I was going to burn. Jeremiah in my Bible is not no bullfrog. No. And I knew my mother would not be happy because we all know frogs lead to beer. This, and I'm not advocating alcohol by any means. You know, I will get a letter from my entire church family, my homeowners association. So this is the truth. They built this restaurant around this huge distillery. It's just where they brew beer. And so I thought it'd be funny to just take mother in there, see how long it took her to figure out where we were sitting there eating. You know. On me, because we walked through and she's like, oh, is it? I haven't seen one of these for years. We sat there, ordered our pizza, you know, the little waitress came up. She goes, oh, honey, let me ask you something. How old is this particular one? Because my father wanted one of these for years, and he had to do all his milking by hand. There and make a meal. I think right now, this very moment, she just found out they weren't. I'm sorry, Mother. I'm so sorry. But the Lord will forgive you for eating there, I'm sure. It's just the funniest thing. My mother's hilarious. She's just very, very particular, you know. She used to call the preacher up. If one of us had the flu, she'd call in to ask if it's okay to take NyQuil, you know. It's the truth, you know. She saw an empty bottle of NyQuil in the bathroom at my house not long ago and begged me, brought home brochures and everything for some 12-step program. She's just very conservative. She's very conservative. She's a wonderful lady. But there are some things about my past that I can't say that I'm particularly proud of, and so I'm not telling you about them. I do have personal fears. I think it's kind of why I decided to put this whole night together, is there are things that you just never dreamed anyone would know or find out. When you do begin to have some kind of a public life, you run into that one person that you knew in high school that you wished had gone on to Glory Land before. And you know what scares me more than running into somebody from high school is if they show up with a little press badge, National Enquirer. That terrifies me, and I know that's crazy. I know it's probably performance-oriented kind of person, you know, but I stand in the grocery store and read the National Enquirer, making sure there's nothing on there about me. It's the truth. I stood there in the grocery line. There's something about Billy Graham. If they could find something on him, they don't have to look very far for me. You know, and so that scares me. It just terrifies me because I gave my mama fits, and I'm glad she is still here to see that her praying paid off a little. Tonight she's decided to pray once more. The truth of the matter, my mother was a wonderful, I keep saying like she's not here. My mother is a wonderful.
Please welcome Mary Maxwell.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a new client of Home Instead and friend and former neighbor of Lori and Paul Hogan, I am so honored to be chosen to offer the invocation this evening. So, let us pray. God our Father, you know all that Home Instead believes in and strives for, and we ask your blessing on the Home Instead family, the management, the staff, the caregivers, and the clients. We are grateful for the way that everyone here tonight contributes to the success of the mission of Home Instead, and we ask you to continue to bless them and this food which we are about to receive. Amen. Sorry, God. As long as I have the microphone. There are a few things I forgot to mention. First of all, just to introduce myself a little. Over the years, I've noticed that the two things most people want to know about you are the two things they're far too polite to ask. So let's get that out of the way. I'm 72 years old. And I weigh 145 pounds. As you know, we seniors are sometimes not very likable, let alone lovable. So, Lord, could you please continue to keep the people of Home Instead patient and aware of why we are the way we are? And Lord, please remind them that the thing about old age is that you don't get a chance to practice. This is the first time I've ever been old. And it just sort of crept up on me. There were signs. Random hair growth. That's special. Particularly that first time you go to brush a hair off your lapel and discover it's attached to your chin. you turn your left turn signal on in the morning and leave it on all day. Non-life-threatening skin growths large enough to name after deceased pets and relatives begin to appear. And neck tissue seems to develop a life of its own. Last November, I was afraid to leave the house Thanksgiving week. Aren't you quick? You do strange things as you age, like driving up to a curbside mailbox and ordering a cheeseburger and fries. And Lord, I know you're aware that one Sunday at church I put my Dillard's bill in the collection basket by mistake. And last Easter, after services at St. Cecilia's Cathedral here in Omaha, my husband stopped to talk to a friend, and I went on out and got in the car to go home. Gentleman sitting behind the wheel said, "Oh, are you going home with me?" And I said, "Oh, Archbishop, I'm so sorry." I won't even mention driving into the wrong end of the car wash. People get so excited when you do that. I don't know why the lady in the other car was screaming like that. I was just as surprised to see her as she was to see me. I also won't mention discovering that you're wearing mismatched earrings and going home to change them and ending up wearing the other mismatched pair. And you know, Lord, that it's hard for old people to exercise. I did try to jog once, but it makes the wine just jump right out of your glass. Well, Lord, you understand seniors and their care, and so does Home Instead. And I have used before a poem I found in a local retirement home newsletter that I have always thought spoke volumes about Home Instead. Blessed are they who understand my faltering step and shaking hand. Blessed are they who know my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my wits are slow. Blessed are they who looked away when I spilled the coffee at table today. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who take the time to chat for a while. Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back memories of yesterday's. Blessed are they who make it known I'm loved, respected, and not alone. Just like you, to us, it's personal. That's Home Instead, Lord. Bless them all. And at the end of the evening, please help me find my car in the parking lot. Amen.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed all that. Blog Talk Mom?
Right. I know that why, I guess, partially why Wild Bill dedicated that to my dad, because he could actually make people laugh. I've seen him go in situations, family reunions, and every age group would be sitting around listening to him tell stories. He was delightful that way, and it stayed with him all of his life. And the Word of God is full of the joy of the Lord, and I personally am not a person that tells funny stories, so it seems like since I've hit the 72 and 73 years, I have been telling funny stories when I preach, and I have to stop and look at everybody and say, that was supposed to be funny. Then they laugh because they love me, but not really that good at telling funny stories. I was reading in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I've actually seen people fall out in laughter, just fall out laughing in a church service. So that's a beautiful thing. And we do know that, I think they say, if a person will laugh 10 times a day, their entire system will work better. It's one of the healthiest things we can do. So that's my part for tonight. How did you enjoy it?
Well, there were parts. I did enjoy the part about the, of course, the dog and the cat. That's always funny to me. But I thought it was cute.
I read a little story in it. It's a book about humor. And the man said that, the man that put the different stories together, said there were times that he felt like he was not in the frame of mind to laugh. And he said, so he made up this prayer. He said, Lord, grant me a joyful heart and a holy sense of humor. Please give me the gift of faith to be renewed and shared with others each day. Teach me to live this moment only, looking neither to the past with regret nor to the future with apprehension. Let love be my aim and my life a prayer. I thought that was pretty much sums it up for an attitude that will, full of gratitude, that will help us make it through every day that we live. And you quoted that scripture in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
Wow. Well, Wild Bill is out there.
All right.
The great beyond, or are you going to say something for us, Wild Bill? Hello? He must be where he doesn't have reception or something.
I think so. It sounded like he tried to come through. There was another little story in this book that, you know, we all have excuses. I think we have one cute little song, excuses, that about not coming to church or whatever. And so this Reverend Sidney Lang of Dublin put the 10 reasons why I never wash. And it's sort of like a play on why we don't come to church. I was made to wash as a child. You know, I was made to go to church. You hear that? So I won't go now. People who wash are hypocrites. They reckon they are cleaner than other people. There are so many different kinds of soap. I could never decide which one is right. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I still wash on special occasions, like Easter and Christmas. Well, none of my friends wash. I'm still young. When I'm older and have got a bit dirtier, I might start washing. I really don't have the time. The bathroom is never warm enough, or it's too cold. People who make soap are only after your money. And so that's just a little parody that he made against the excuses that we have about not coming to church. So I thought that was cute. And I'm sorry we didn't get to hear from Wild Bill here at the close of everything.
Well, he wanted me to play that one that I started to play, but I think it was messed up, and it started to play back again what it had already said, so I just went on to the next one. Anyway, well, we enjoyed the humor tonight and getting to laugh, and I did enjoy the older lady at the end talking about going in the car wash the wrong way. I thought that was kind of funny.
I went in a car wash one time, and I decided I would roll the window down. I had electric I have no idea what I had on my mind, but I could not get it back up. I was very wet. I don't know. I wasn't happy.
Oh, boy. Well, I can't say I've ever done that, but I'm certain that would be hilarious to see.
Well, it really, I was hilarious to see. I had new hairdo and everything time we got through there, but pushing the wrong buttons at the right time and whatever. It is
things
funny.
Like that really tickle me. I mean, I don't know. I'm
the
not
thing
a good
to do
counselor.
Is to be able to laugh at a situation and let it go. And that's difficult to do because none of us want to look goofy. But it's, what is it, if you laugh, the whole world laughs with you. If you cry alone. So just have to laugh. And prayer helps that. Prayer is really a key. The Holy Ghost is a key to being able to find joy and have the right altitude. What attitude determines altitude. So if we can laugh at it, I used to tell people, if you're happy, notify your face.
Sometimes I think we forget to do that.
That's true. And it really does release the tension if you just smile. I know when Joy Bells and I did our program that time a couple of years ago, it was on the first thing we would do, we committed ourselves, the first thing we would do when our eyes opened up was smile at the Lord. I just smile at him, because I remember my children, when they'd be crying and I would walk into the room and they could just have the most beautiful, appreciative smile. Sometimes, not all the time. So it's good to thank the Lord for bringing us through another day and giving us an opportunity to live. And I like that prayer. We don't have to regret. It just ruins today. It doesn't do a thing to fix yesterday. But that's easier said than done also.
Yes.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Now it's time to call it a night. So God bless y'all.
Well, we hope you all enjoyed the show, and we hope to find you back here next week at your place. Good night.